I always get caught with the word dominion. Does it mean stewardship? Does it mean responsibility? Does it mean power? Does it mean control? We have dominion over. I love that God creates themness, not individualness. And I rejoice that almost every day ends with, and it was very good. Today, I'm aware that we all have a different level of ripeness in our spiritual life. Some of us are worth picking, and some of us still need to be left on the vine. I hope to stretch our minds just a little bit. It's going to feel a little abstract, and at other times I hope to be able to bring it into being more concrete. So hang on. Here we go. The first couple of chapters in Genesis are powerful pieces of literature. They are powerful stories that are part of humanity's dance with God. And some folks panic when I say something like there are two different creation stories. Don't panic. Here's the beauty in the creation stories. They're intended to be different. They have purpose to be different. One of them is intended to say, and God created everything. This grand and glorious and broad stroke creator of the universe. And the other story is intended to be an intimate invitation between us and God. And God breathed life into this mud creature. I've told you before that the word for mud is the same word for Adam, right? The name of the first guy is actually mud. The word for ground in Hebrew is Adamah. That sounds an awful lot like Adam. Mud guy. Dirt dude. I think there's going to be some different places that you're going to hear things today and you're going to want to either question or have a different kind of conversation. Just so you know, I'd be glad to engage in a deeper conversation about the stories in Genesis because I find them to be powerful connectors to God. I don't think it matters that we try to make the Bible stories of creation to be accurate, historically factual, answering the questions who, what, when, where, how. The key questions I think the scripture answers for us is who and why. So if you tell me that it happened a certain way, that creation happened a certain way, I'm going to say, okay, great. And let me tell you who did it. Who and why are our questions. God created it however God created it. I'm not trying to address the how question. The biblical witness is trying to speak to the questions of who and why, not how or when or where. Creation is good. Most of it, God says, is very good. It turns out, if you read the story carefully, it says something like if you separate things from each other, if you try to dissect them, it's not as good as very good. It's when they come together. When we're connected, that we get to say very good. Every once in a while, this story gets folks off the path and they head towards the phrase original sin. And I want you to know that during creation, sin hasn't happened yet. And so it's fair to say, and I invite you to grab a hold of this and hold on for dear life, it's fair to say that God created the universe with original goodness. Than original sin. Let's live into that some. But the powerful part of this passage is a phrase that we've used, and I can remember hearing it in Latin before I made it to even out of grade school, the image of God. That we are to live and we're to love in a way that reflects who God is. We are called to be. Great theme in Scripture. We are intended to be a mirror, a reflection of God. Sometimes it's a dim mirror. Sometimes it's you're looking down at the water and you see the reflection, but the wind's blowing. It's not a clear image. Sometimes I'm not a clear reflection of God. But it says humanity, and maybe even creation, is created in the image and likeness of God. What if we actually treated each other like every individual was created in the image of God? This great theme is woven throughout Scripture, that God is reflected in creation, that God shows up in the flesh, that God is manifest in the world around us, that God is light. Sometimes there's dirt involved. But when we say that God is love in John 1, it actually starts unfolding in Genesis 1. And it unfolds more in something like Matthew 25. If I say Matthew 25, do you know what I mean? This is yes, this is no. Is that too abstract? All right, so here's what I mean by Matthew 25. There's a story where Jesus says, a group of folks came to me, and I said, you get to go this way because when I was sick or I was hurt or I was hungry, you cared for me. And they said, what the heck are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or sick or in prison? Or remember that story? You think about it in terms of sheep and goats, but I want you to hear it today as God is in each and every one. When we care for them, we are the image of God. They've got the image of God in them. We can do likeness of God by caring about Jesus, about the image of God in them. Now, here's the kicker. I didn't get this until the last couple of years. There's two different words, image and likeness, and they mean different things in Hebrew. One of them is you look like God. Oh, I see God's family resemblance in you. You look an awful lot like your... And likeness is more like you mimic God. So when a child is playing a game and does the same thing you do every time you do it, that's what we mean when we say and likeness. So you look like God and you act like God. And sometimes you do that better than other times. And when I say you, I'm not talking about you individually. I'm talking about the y'allness of it. Here's the other thing that started to dawn on me this week is the image of God is a state of being. It's who you are. You can't fix that. You can't lose it, and you can't make yourself look more like God. There's no plastic surgery that's going to make you look more like God. You is what you is. Bald and beautiful, baby. The image piece of this is a state of being. It's who we are. But likeness is a matter of being a role model, an action that we kind of try to do the kinds of things that God showed us to do. We try to mimic God. You can't be just passive in this, and you actually aren't active in this. You are not responsible. You are not the key player in this. You just happen to be in a dance with God. The image and likeness of God in you is you participating in God's creation. You don't get to take any credit for it. You just get to be God's. You bear a resemblance to. You have the look and feel. You're a copy, a clone. And I think that sense of us wanting to fit in, That sense of peer pressure, that desire to belong, is a part of the image and likeness of God, where God is meant to be connected to God's self, our image. And so we're intended to be bound together. And so there's something really magical in having a really deep connection with another. And that's part of image and likeness of God. We use theological words like embodiment and incarnation, and I think that's part of image and likeness of God. So here's the one line I think is the most concise, perfect line that I've crafted for this sermon. Life is a vessel for displaying God's love and character. Life is a vessel for showing God. There are some great examples of this theme woven through Scripture. When God chooses the people of Israel, that chosenness, that exampleness, it's not so that God can exclude other folks, but it's so that God can show an example to others the way that dance of connectedness is supposed to work. It's supposed to be covenant connection. I think the story of the Good Samaritan is an example of image and likeness. Go be like that one. When Paul uses the imagery that the people of the church are like the body of Christ, I think that's image and likeness, that bound together we display God's love and character in the same way Jesus displayed God's love and character. So what does this mean to us? How does this become relevant in our day-to-day life? How does this show up? It reminds us that God needs people in order to show God's love in reality. And you get to do that. We get to show God's love in our relationships to each other. It means that we are called to stay connected to God and connected to each other, that our image, our connected image, reminds us that part of our capacity to be in relationship with each other is part of who God is. It's God's character to be in relationship. If you say to yourself, I have no idea how to reflect God's image in the world, welcome to the world. It feels like we're all in that boat, doesn't it? Does anybody think they've got a perfect handle on how to show God in the world? Okay. But if you looked around in here, my guess is you could find other folks in the room who kind of show God, and you see God in them. Am I right? And they may see God in you. You just don't see God in you. Maybe we could trust the God in us to transform the us into something different and bigger than just people who like to squabble. Not saying that we as a church squabble, I'm saying that humanity in general seems to squabble. Is that fair? Sorta? What'd you say? Oh, okay. So, if you don't know how to show God's image and likeness, then here's my invitation to you. Desire to love God through loving others. Just desire it. Don't say, how do I do that? Don't try to figure it out. Just desire to love God through loving others. And God will do the rest. I think we have to connect. I think there are times when we're too busy being busy and we forget about the image of God that's just in us. And there are other times that folks are so passive and sitting on the sidelines, they forget there's likeness to be done. Image and likeness, passive and active, or participating. So being humble, filled with peace and acceptance feels to me like image of God. Sharing rather than hoarding feels to me like likeness of God. Caring rather than comparing feels like likeness and image of God. The key in all of these things is to let God lead you. So my best metaphor that I can offer you this morning is to that I believe there's a window in our life where we have a really good example of this. And I'm saying be childlike. I think that the kingdom of God and God's grace is much easier to see if you're less than 3 feet tall. Children are a much better mirror of God's image than those of us who have allowed ego and culture to live into our beings. Does that feel fair? I think there are times when, as human beings, adults, that we can get below the 3 foot mark and see God's grace, but sometimes it requires falling on our face. And then you look up and you see grace. I think there are times when we humble ourselves because we are desperate for God's action in our life and we get down on our knees and we get lower than 3 feet tall. But the best example, I think, is there's a time when you're holding the baby and looking at the baby and you just can't help but smile. You know that moment? And because you smile, the baby smiles. That's what I mean. Image and likeness of God. You gaze at God and you see God smile and you start to smile and the whole universe changes. If you've held a baby and watched a baby smile or started to giggle or starts to giggle, then that's what I mean by being the mirror. Somehow or another, getting rid of our ego and our busyness and just being the baby in God's arms, looking back at God, having no clue what we're supposed to do other than, wow. So my suggestion is, if you can find a place where you can see the stars tonight, lay down on the ground and look up. Because in that looking upness, you're going to see the vastness of the universe, and you're going to remember it's not about your little ego, which, when you compare it to the stars, seems pretty little. And if you can smile while you're looking at the stars, I want you to trust that God smiles back. The grand theme of Scripture is you participate in God's love because you're part of creation. And we get in God's way a lot. As soon as we get higher than 3 feet tall, we get in God's way a lot. And so get on your knees or lay on your back or fall on your face, whatever it takes. Find yourself a baby that you can gaze at. And remind yourself what it's like to be image and likeness of a loving God. The baby doesn't need to do anything to be loved. The baby just feels the connection and the love. I have some great quotes, but I'm going to stop there. Because what I really want you to hold on to is that imagery of what does he mean that Scripture talks about us being in relationship to God like a little baby? Do not hinder the children, because to such as these belong the kingdom of God. So here is your homework. I want you to practice being the mirror. Image and likeness. Being or seeing Godness in others and recognizing that others see the family resemblance to God in you. I want you at some point to close your eyes, and I'd love for you to do this every day. Close your eyes. See yourself lying down, whether you can lie down or not. Some of you, if I tell you to lie down, you're going to call me and say, now come over and help me get up. Right? So those of you who can't get back up, don't lie down and do this in reality. Close your eyes and see yourself lying down. And I think it'll say something to you whether you, when you picture yourself lying down, whether you see yourself face down or face up. And in that moment, just desire to connect to God. If something else distracts you, circle back to desire to connect to God. I just desire to connect to God. And then I think you should rinse and repeat that for a few minutes every day. Seek an awareness of God's love for you. Where is it? Somewhere in your lifetime, you've experienced God's grace and God's love in a way that just blew you away. Remind yourself of that moment. Think about when you felt God's love for you most clearly. And then remind yourself to act. How shall you love God back? And listen for God's word in that. Because for you today, it may be different than for you tomorrow. Or you yesterday. Or for another today. Listen to that connection and see where God leads you. I believe the best example of all this is looking at the cross, of the life of Jesus. Jesus shows us. The cross shows us who God is and what love looks like. Surrender, humility, those lead us to a deeper connection to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we do, from the desire, the deepest desires of our heart and our soul, we want to feel connected to you. And there are times when life and the world is so busy, or it feels like it's so crazy or so mean, that we can't get past that to just be silent and still and recognize that you are God and that you created all of this, and that there are still beautiful sunrises and waves on the beach and the wind in our hair. There are so many places where you show up, but we are distracted. Help us this week be less distracted. And teach us what it means to be a mirror for you. We love you. Help us show it better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.